Morning, everyone. Good Chodesh. It's a real schuss to be here. I just want to point out before starting just a little hashgacha pratis, which I'd like to acknowledge, is that going back many years ago, I think about 16, 17 years ago, we had the schuss to be guests in this home, in this basement. I'll explain the connection in a second. We have cousins. I'm from Los Angeles originally. And I have a cousin, Rachel Rubenstein, Mayor Menachem Gasworth, from the community. So when they were getting married, so we had the opportunity to be part of the Simcha. And we had the tremendous fortune of staying here. And so I just want to acknowledge the Ashkacha Pratis. You know, when you go through life and you see your footsteps in the sand. So it's an opportunity to come full circle. Finish the circuit and to be Makar Tov and to share the Divrei Torah here is a special treat for me. So thank you. When Rebbetzin Fuchs asked me to speak and to share some thoughts about the main group, she said, "What do you like to speak about?" I said, "Amuna." She said, "Perfect." And the main group is about Emunah, of course, and I won't be the first speaker or the last one to speak about Emunah. But I want to share and kind of hone in on a particular aspect of Emunah, because Emunah is probably the widest, vastest, deepest subject in all of Torah. We can't limit Emunah to one particular inyan. So we're holding in a time right now, Sfiras HaOmer, and we're trying to bridge together Pesach and Shavuos. We can't be short-sighted to think that Pesach is to itself and Shavuos is to itself and there's no relationship between the two of them. Sfiras HaOmer clearly demonstrates that we're on a ladder right now. We're working our way up from Pesach to Shavuos. So the two Yomim Tovim are inherently connected. So I'd like to throw out a few questions to begin with to keep in mind. And as we go along, perhaps no particular order. We may forget to come back to some of the questions. That's okay. To think about, to chew on, and hopefully by the end of this year we'll have a deeper appreciation to see out to the Shmaya on this particular aspect of Emunah. We began the journey by eating matzahs. And the matzahs is the essential part of the Yom Tov of Pesach. In fact, I'm sure you all know that when the Torah refers to the Yom Tov of Pesach, it does not refer to it as Pesach. That's the name that the Jewish people, the Rabbanim, came up with. The Torah refers to Pesach as Chag HaMatzos. So out of all the many mitzvahs which we do on the night of the Seder, it's really matzah, which is the core, which is the neshama of the entire Yom Tov. Testimony to that is that after the Seder is over, we leave all the other mitzvahs behind which we do with the night of the Seder. We forget about the Maror, we forget about the Magid and the Sipitzis Mitzvahim, and the only mitzvah which we take along with us to complete the Yantiv is the mitzvah of Matzah, which we eat all 7 days. The Zayar refers to the Matzah as Michla Dimhemnusa, which translates into the food of Emunah. Of course, it begs the question, what does matzah have to do with Emunah? That of all the foods which we eat throughout the Jewish year, and we eat many of them as Yidden, what does matzah in particular have to do with the inyan of Emunah? As we continue this journey to Shavuos, in a few weeks we'll be encountering our second stop on this journey, unless you count Rosh Chodesh year as a stop, which it deserves to be a spot. Lag Ba'Omer. Lag Ba'Omer. So for many, I know growing up, Lag Ba'Omer was a day of recreation, playing basketball, getting together with friends, but in the deeper aspects of Torah, Lag Ba'Omer is something much, much more than that. And of course, Lag Ba'Omer is a very vast subject, but just a thought about Lag Ba'Omer, perhaps to make it relevant to us. Because in a deeper sense, Lag Ba'Omer is the day really of the revelation of the secrets of Torah. Rav Shmuel Yochai revealed the Zayar HaKadosh from which all depths and secrets of Torah come from. But that's very high, and although we have a connection to that, every single one of us, that's something on our level to take something meaningful about Lag BaOmer. Chazal tell us by Kriyas Yamsuf. We know that the Shira by Kriyas Yamsuf was a very special Shira. And Chazal bring that out in many ways. There's a Gemara which says the following thing, and it needs explanation. The Gemara says, from how do we know that even babies who were unborn, fetuses in the wombs, that even they sang Shira by the Yamsuf? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. The Gemara says, "Ba'makelos baruch elokim." You should create an assembly to give thanks to Hashem. Hashem imekar Yisrael, from the roots of Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara understands that this word makar Yisrael means the roots, and from where Jewish neshamas come from, which is from the womb. That even in that place called the Makor Yisrael, from that place there was a shira which was sung. So the question is why is that relevant? Why is that important? How is it even possible, such a thing? Because really, if you think about it, why should they sing shira? Did they have the capacity to recognize that there was a nace taking place, that their lives were in danger, that they were crossing the Yamsuf? So why and how should they sing shira Tasha? And why is it important that Chazal bring this out? Furthermore, Chazal tell us about Kriyas Yamsuf, and of course the relevance is obvious that Kriyas Yamsuf is the seventh day of Pesach, we commemorate the splitting of the Yamsuf. So this is along our journey, of course. Chazal tell us, Az Yosher Moshe. So Chazal are bothered by this lashon of Yosher, which is a future, in future tense. Moshe will sing. What do you mean Moshe will sing? Moshe is singing right now. So Chazal say, Az Yosher Moshe, Moshe will sing this song together with the Jewish people in the times of Mashiach. In the times of Tchias HaMeisim, Chazal will sing this, with Moshe and Klai Yisrael will sing this year. Why is that important for us to know? That the Torah went out of its way to say Az Yosher Moshe. By the way, this is not the only time, this is going to be sung again in the future times. That was such an important part of the Shira that Chazal had to notice that the Torah had to write that. This is the song of Tchias HaMeisim. So let's begin by trying to tie together a little bit the string of events, beginning with Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Kriyas Yamsuf, to Shavuos, to where we're heading in Yetzias Hashem. So the title of this year is called The Song of My Life. To understand what it means, the song of my life, we have to understand two things. What's a song and what's life? What's life? Life is really a secret. Life is really a secret. Because although you can point your finger to many things and you could say, this is a chair, this is a ständer, this is a microphone, you can't point to life and to say, this is life. Things are alive, people are alive, but you can't point and say, I see life itself. So life is really a secret. And in fact, Chazal and the Zohar especially refer to the concept of life is called the Raza D'Chaim, the secret of life. We go back to the very, very beginnings of our history as people, not just as Jews, but as human beings. We go back to Adam HaRishon, so we know that Adam HaRishon was tested with the following Nisayon: to refrain from eating from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, and also to acknowledge another Eitz, which was in the Gan, which is called the Eitz HaChaim. Now, although Adam HaRishon was not commanded by Hashem to eat from the Eitz HaChaim especially, if you'll take a look at the Psukim and Parshas Bereishis, you'll note that. However, the Torah goes out of its way to highlight and to recognize the presence of the Eitz HaChaim, this tree of life in the center of the garden. And what Adam HaRishon should have done was to have eaten from the Eitz HaChaim. from the tree of life, to eat from that tree of life. And the reason why he didn't, and although this tree, it makes its way into the Torah and then kind of falls out, and we don't find mention of the Eitz HaChaim at all throughout the rest of the Torah explicitly. But the secret of this tree is that it's the secret of life. And to have eaten from the Eitz HaChaim, from that tree, would have given Adam HaRishon an appreciation and a real clarity and understanding of what this is called the secret of life. The Torah, of course, is called the Eitz HaChaim. The Torah is called the tree of life. And although we don't walk outside and we see that this is the tree of life, the Torah itself is the tree of life. And in fact, even the wooden handles of the Torah, if you will, which we hold, they're called the Atzei Chaim. They're called the trees of life, and they're made out of wood. So the Torah is the Eitz HaChaim which we eat from, which is our spiritual nourishment, that when we learn Torah correctly and we live a Jewish life the way Hashem intends us to, it's in order to give us an appreciation of what it means, the secret of life. That we should be that Adam in the Eitz HaGan, to refrain from eating from the Eitz HaDaas Tevera, and to eat from that Eitz HaChaim. Because we must recognize that the Torah and the stories in the Torah are not just stories which once were and they have no relevance to us. Everything which we read about in the Torah, whether it's in the Parsha of Nadav and Avihu, or Avraham and Yitzchak, which is more obvious, or going back to Adam HaRishon, these are very much current events. There's nothing in the Torah which is of the past. Everything is in the present and relates to us. So when we read Parshas Bereishis and we read about this Adam, that he was tested to stay away from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra, to eat from the Eitz HaChaim, let us recognize that that's referring to us, that every single person can just write his name in the Torah and say, erase Adam and put in my name. That's me. That everything which goes on in my life that I have to stay away from is called an Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra, and everything which I'm supposed to embrace and to learn from and to come close to Hashem with is called the Eitz HaChaim. But the essence of the Eitz HaChaim is a mystery. Because the secret of life is so special, it's so unique and so vast, that we need to delve into the concept of the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, the secret of life, to understand it on a deeper level. So let's begin a little bit with that introduction. Chazal tell us that Avraham Avinu, that he began to understand Hashem Yisbarach at the age of 3 years old. Yet other Chazals tell us that Avraham was not 3 years old, he was perhaps 48 years old. And some say even 50 years old, or maybe even 75 years old. So how do we understand this conflict, in the words of Chazal, as to what age Avraham Avinu began to understand Hashem Yisbarach? The truth is, however, when it comes to many Chazal, that there's no controversy, there's no machlokas between all of these words of Chazal, that they're all true. And the reason for that is that the mission of understanding Hashem and getting to know Him is a process that once it begins, it never ends. So yes, Avraham Avinu began to understand Hashem at the age of 3. But he didn't stop at the end of the age of 3 and say, oh, I finally understand this God. He toiled and he continued on that journey. And when he came to the age of 48, he had a very new, deep recognition, realization of who Hashem is. And when he came to 50, when he came to 70, when he came to 75, all is true. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu and who He is so infinitely great. And there's so much to know and to grow in understanding Hashem. So we can't ever say that the journey of knowing Hashem Yisbarach ever really ends. There's just different stations in life in understanding who He is. I like to tell my Talmidim that perhaps one of the greatest Jewish rebbes of all time is Uncle Moshe. And the reason why I say that is because we know here, and especially in a group like this, it goes without saying the relevance and the importance of emunah in a Jew's life. That emunah is the core, it's the foundation of everything. Yet it's so ironic that when young Jewish boys and girls go to school, they go to cheder, whatever they go to. So we learn about so many mitzvahs, there's 613 of them and more. And there's so much to learn, and there's so many halachos, and there's so many chazal. Yet many times that which is so important can be overlooked. And when I ask myself the following question, when did I ever learn the yesodos, the important principles of emunah in my life? I said, I think it was Uncle Maishi. No? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. I don't think I ever remember learning from a Rebbe in school such a thing. So I owe him my life, I feel like. The yesodos of emunah. So when did I ever learn that from a Rebbe, from a mentor? I don't know. And we sing the song and it resonates with us, but we live with that all the time, that whatever we go through in life, whatever challenges we confront, we appreciate that Hashem is here, He's there, and He's everywhere. And everywhere is everywhere. Everywhere, not just in the world which we see, but even in the world which we don't see, and even in places which are above existence itself. That's a deep appreciation of Hashem. Somebody needs to teach you that. Because there have been many people who have been looking and searching, and really every single human being is searching for Hashem. But unless we have the words of Chazal to tell us and to open up our eyes, to illuminate our eyes, to understand that you can't just find Hashem like you find a hat. You have to find Hashem in a way which you use your neshama to find Hashem. Because you can't be confined to this world, although He's in this world, and His presence can be felt in this world. But it's an injustice and it's corruption to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limited to just that. So I think it brings home a little bit when we speak about this journey of Avraham Avinu, and every single Jew is this Avraham Avinu, that he's going through life and he's trying to understand Hashem more and understand Hashem more. To understand the secret of life itself is to understand Hashem more and more and the relevance of Him in my life. With this we can understand a little bit this journey of Kriyas Yamsuf, which began with leaving Mitzrayim to Lag BaOmer to Shavuos. Let's ask ourselves this question in understanding Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf B'nai Yisrael sang Shira Tasha. And this Shira that Hashem received from the Jewish people on that day was the greatest Shira which He ever received from us. So much so that Hashem says, I want this Shira in the times of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Like we mentioned before, it was something which was very special. In what way was Kriyas Yamsuf different than the leaving of Mitzrayim? The Torah spends many parshas telling us about the makos which Hashem did in Mitzrayim. You have Shmos, Va'era, and Bo. In tremendous detail, 10 makos. Yet we don't find the B'nai Yisrael saying Shirat Hashem. Yet when they come to Kriyas Yamsuf, B'nai Yisrael sing a tremendous, glorious Shirat Hashem. What happened? What was different? Now perhaps you'll say, and we find this in the Haggadah, that there were more makos which took place by Kriyas Yamsuf than took place in Mitzrayim. Chazal say that perhaps even up to 250 makos took place by the Yamsuf. So maybe that's the difference. Maybe it was the quantity of miracles that Hashem did for B'nai Yisrael by the Yamsuf which accounts for the Shira by the Yam. But that can't be. Because the Torah doesn't mention anything about the makos which took place by the Yamsuf. That can't be the secret ingredient which brought about that Shira that B'nai Yisrael sang. And does it really make for a difference whether there were 10 makos or 250 or 1,000? The makos is what brings out a Shira. The fact that you see that the mitzvah were hit 250 times is why B'nai Yisrael sang, as if it mattered to them. So what's the secret of the Shira by Kriyas Yamsuf? So there's a very delicate but unique difference between what took place on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim and what took place by the Yamsuf. Listen carefully. When B'nai Yisrael were crossing the Yamsuf and they sang that Shira, we know that there are many psukim to that Shira and we're all familiar with it. It's the Azi Asher which we say in davening every single day. If I were to say to you, what is the most important pasuk in all of Azi Asher, we'd probably have 100 different opinions here as to what the most essential, vital pasuk in Kriyas Yamsuf is, if there even is one. But if we take a look at the Siddur by Ma'ariv, we find a glimpse as to what the real neshama of the Shira is. We say, Malchus Haru Uvanecha, Bnei Yisrael, Hashem, your children, they saw your Malchus, they saw your kingship. Barkei Yam Lifnei Moshe, you split the sea in front of Moshe. Ze Keli Anu V'amru. They said, Ze Keli. Ze Keli Anu V'amru. What does it mean, Ze Keli? So Chazal say, to Rashi, on that pasuk, Ze Keli, the word Ze in Torah always means if you could see something with your eyes and you can point to it and say, Ze, that's what Ze means. This is it. You're not trying to describe it. Like if a person goes away to Italy, let's say, and he comes home and his parents and his family are saying to him, what was it like there? So you have to explain it and you have to break it down into detail. And even the person who's listening doesn't have a real understanding of what it is. In order to know what it is, you got to be there. You can't describe an experience at the Kotel. Explain that? You can't explain that. It's something which is beyond words. Only something which you can behold, that you see. Can you point and say, this is it? That's called Zeh. So now, in Mitzrayim for 10 Makos, which by the way took the course of a year, for a year in Mitzrayim that Hashem was pounding the Mitzrayim. So there was never a revelation of Hashem in Mitzrayim. It was only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing for the Jewish people. And even in the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out, and He did reveal Himself in Mitzrayim, what did Hashem say to the Jewish people? Don't leave your houses. Nobody is allowed to leave the house. Which means to say, you're not allowed to see My glory. Don't see My glory. You're not on the level yet to behold the revelation of the Shekhinah of Hashem. It was only when the Jewish people came to the Yam Suf, and Hashem Yisrael split the sea, and when He split the sea, He split reality, and He revealed Himself to the Jewish people, and they were able to point up and say, this is My God. That one moment, which is much higher than all the Makos and all the Nisim, was the defining moment of Kriyas Yam Suf. That they were able to behold with their eyes, and able to say, this is My God. This is who we've been talking about. This is who Avram was talking about. This is who Yitzhak and Yaakov was talking about. That every Jew by the Yam Suf was able to point with a clarity and to say, this is You. And that was the defining moment of Kriyas Yam Suf. In that way, we can understand why Kriyas Yam Suf is really bridged in between leaving Pesach, which is the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Shavuot. Because when we come to Shavuos, we have a very similar instance. If we understand the giving of Torah, which is what Shavuos represents and celebrates and commemorates, as being the day of the giving of the Torah, which we're extremely grateful for, what separates Bnei Yisrael from the rest of the nations. However, there was something about Matan Torah, the giving of Torah, which we overlook, and that is that when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, it wasn't just that He gave the Torah, He revealed Himself on the Har. And once again, the Jewish people were able to point and to say, Zeh Keli Menveu, this is the God of the Jewish people. And this is what the Torah says when it defines the experience of the giving of the Torah. The Torah says, Panim b'panim diber Hashem imachem, that Hashem spoke to you face to face. You encountered the Ribbono Shel Olam. We encountered our Creator when we stood at Har Sinai. So in that sense, Kriyas Yam Suf is considered to be the culmination of the leaving of Mitzrayim because of the Makos which took place. But at the same time, the beginning of the process of receiving Torah, because the receiving of Torah was much more than just receiving a book. It was recognizing and understanding who this Creator is, who Hashem is Baruch is. And in that way, Kriyas Yam Suf is able to blend together in the middle of the road, the leaving of Mitzrayim and the receiving of Torah. Let's delve a little bit into this pasuk of Zeh Keli Menveu. The Gemara in Shabbos in a discussion of the halachas of Bris Mila, quotes the following braisa. It quotes our pasuk Zakeli Venveyu, and the Gemara learns from this pasuk, "This is my God, and I will glorify Him." The mitzvah to beautify mitzvahs which we do. So the Gemara gives examples. The Gemara says, "Sukkah naya." When you make a sukkah, don't just make a shlaki sukkah. Make a nice sukkah. It should be nice. A lulav naya, a nice lulav, a nice shofar, nice tzitzis, a nice sefer Torah. When you do mitzvahs, do it in a way that you'll be proud of it, that Hashem will be proud of it, that it should be beautiful inside and out. That's what the Gemara learns from the mitzvah of Zakeh Le'Me'anveh. And then the Gemara quotes another opinion, seemingly, from a tzaddik Abba Shaul, and he said the following thing. I learned from this word, he says, Ve'anvehu, that anvehu is really a construct of two words, ani vaho. Now, ani vaho is a Kabbalistic concept. It's about two secret names of Hashem. But Rashi brings it down to our level. And Rashi says that ani vaho really means, the Gemara, ani vahu, me and him. Me and him. You and I. So Rashi explains this Gemara, because the Gemara says, Havidomelo, make yourself like him. So Rashi says, Esa atzmo kamoso, I want to make myself like him to go in his ways. So it's fascinating. So you have one pasuk and two understandings. The first understanding of the pasuk is telling us that when we do mitzvahs, we should do them in a way that the mitzvah is beautiful and it's glorified. Yet the other understanding of the pasuk is coming to tell us that I should make myself like Hashem. To be like Hashem. And I believe that these two understandings of Zakeh Le'Me'anveh are two different levels, two different madrigas, and understanding what this means, Zakeh Le'Me'anveh. I think we relate, obviously, to the first understanding of this chazal. Zakeh Le'Me'anveh means to beautify mitzvahs. If there's anything which deserves to be beautiful, it's mitzvahs, which we do. It represents Hashem and it gives him kavod and it gives him honor. However, the second understanding of the pasuk Zakeh Le'Me'anveh, like the Gemara tells us, ani vahu, what does that mean? Me and him. So Chazal are touching on a very important aspect of emunah, which is really the focus of what we're here to speak about. Klal Yisrael is called the Am HaNivchar, we're the chosen nation. And to be chosen is the biggest chus, obviously, that a person can have. But it's very different, this reality that Hashem chooses the Jewish people, than any other choice which we can relate to. So for example, let's say a Rebbe chooses a Talmid that he calls up to the front of the class. Is there anything essentially deep which is taking place between the Rebbe choosing the Talmid? No. Just chosen to come and say something. When Hashem chooses the Jewish people, it's not just a concept that Hashem chose Bnei Yisrael. Choosing Bnei Yisrael means there was a shift in reality. It's not just a fluffy idea. When Hashem chose Bnei Yisrael, it meant something on a very deep level. What took place is that Hashem said, by choosing you, I'm giving you a piece of me. That's what it means when Hashem chooses. And that's not something which we're making up. Everybody knows this. We're familiar with it. We're just trying to understand it. It's not something which is about me, or about you, or about anybody else in Klal Yisrael. We're all equal in that, and that we all have a neshama defined as a piece of Hashem. Simple as that. And it's an explicit pasuk in Torah. If you go to Parshas Hazinu, it doesn't get any more clear. It says, Ki chelek Hashem amo. That Klal Yisrael is a piece of Hashem, which means that every single Jew is a walking piece of godliness. So if you walk down the street and you pass a guy So although you may look the same, you may dress the same, you may lead similar lives on the outside, but in a deeper place, if we had x-ray spiritual vision, you would see that there was no comparison whatsoever between these two human beings. That the understanding of what it means in neshama is so great, so deep, and it's so important. There are no words to explain what that means. And there's no words of shira we can give to Hashem from the fact that He chose us by giving Him a piece of Himself to us. The only dogma, example that we have of this is what takes place between a chasen and a kala. Chasen and kala is not just a ceremony which takes place under the chuppah. Everybody recognizes and understands that although we don't understand how it all comes together, that the kala walking around the chasen and the giving of the ring and the sheva brachos and all the minhagim which we lead up to a chasana, they're not just because, it didn't just happen that way, it's not just a nice ceremonial process. Something is taking place on a very deep level that's binding them together. That the chasen is saying to the kala, here, take a piece of me. That's what's taking place. And that's why she changes her name to have the same last name as him. It's not just that they're going to share lives together. They're a piece of each other. Simple as that. So we are chosen by Hashem. Means that we have a piece of him. And that's a tremendous pride that we have as the Jewish people. It's not insulting to the other nations. They had an opportunity to receive Torah. They said no. And they still the doors open to take Gerim. It's just the truth. It's the truth. But that truth comes with a tremendous expectation and an achrayas and a responsibility to be a walking piece of Hashem. We're a light unto the nations because we carry a piece of Him. Not just because there's a concept that Hashem chose the Jewish people, because we're Him. And wherever we go with Him. That's what it means to have a neshama. And in a certain sense, this is the secret of life. The secret of life is knowing that although I breathe in and I breathe out, and I recognize that there's something or another, although I can't explain it, which is allowing me to be here and to function, on a deeper level, the secret of life means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the one who is at the core of who we are. That essentially, when we look in the mirror and we see who we are, we realize that that's a levush. That's just the garment for this world. But essentially, I have a part of myself which is able to travel and to be present in all the worlds. That it's a piece of Hashem. And that's the secret of life. That's the secret of who we really are. And so therefore, when we recognize who we truly are, who we really are, and we identify with this concept and it becomes a reality to us, and we implement this emunah and we ingrain it in ourselves in a way that it's not just something which we know externally, but it becomes part of our life, then one of the results of that is that when it comes to doing mitzvahs, whether it's davening or making brachos or learning Torah, or whatever it is, whatever capacity, whatever mitzvahs we do during the course of our lives, it makes mitzvahs relevant in a way which we never understood it before. A person has to put a mezuzah on the door. So it's not just that putting up with the mezuzah is just a random act of doing putting up a mezuzah. It's something which is at the core of who I am. I love to do mitzvahs. Davening is not something which I happen to do, which I have to do. It's something which I do. Because I'm a neshama. And a piece of Hashem wants to sing Tasha. It wants to daven Tasha. So it's not possible to have a person who doesn't like mitzvahs, who doesn't like davening. If such a thing exists, and of course we know that it does exist, that people have difficulties in this in their lives, it's not because they have something which they need to train themselves to like to do Torah mitzvahs. It's a disconnect from who I essentially am. Because if I'm living as I really am, which is a piece of Hashem, then everything is natural. You don't have to teach a fish how to swim in water or to tell him, listen, it's really gewaldic to be in water. You're going to really enjoy this. You have to convince him of that. It's who he is, and he knows how to swim. And he loves to swim. That's his life. So when a Jew understands and appreciates that he's a piece of Hashem and he identifies himself as that, then it's not just that I have my life and I do Torah mitzvahs. This is my life. And everything which I do, I see as opportunities for doing mitzvahs. That's my life. Because that's essentially who I am. This is really the secret of Kriyas Yam Suf. The secret of Kriyas Yam Suf and what defined it as the moment of the completion of leaving Mitzrayim, what separated it and put it on a higher pedestal than leaving Mitzrayim, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that by the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim there was no Shira, because there was not any clarity, there was no vision, there was only how I understand Hashem from what He does for me. But to behold Hashem Yisborach, that only took place by Kriyas Yam Suf. They were able to point and to see and to recognize, like we have in our Gemara, Ze Keli V'Anvehu, this is my God. Ani Vahu, me and him were cut from the same place. That recognition, that moment of Emuna, and again, this is what we're highlighting right now, in the Emuna that not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates the world and everything which He does is for the good, and we're familiar with this, and we ingrain this, and we come here for that. But a dimension of Emunah, which is the understanding that who I am and who He is really one and the same, and that's what it means to be the Am HaNivchar. That's what it means to be the chosen people. So therefore, Zekeli V'Anvehu, to behold Hashem, that moment of Emunah was the defining moment of Kriyas Yam Suf. So the Torah tells us, "Vayaminu b'Hashem uvam Moshe Avdo," that by the Yam Suf Bnei Yisrael, that they believed in Moshe and they sang Shira Tasha. Because right after that it says, "Az Yasher," then Bnei Yisrael sang Shira. What does this Shira have to do with this moment of Emunah of beholding Hashem Yisbarach? So I want to quote to you from Sefer Shi'urei Das, which I saw quoted, where he speaks about what the inyan of Shira is, what it means to sing Tasha. And he writes, Kishoyrish Hashirahu, the root of Shira is, Masha Hanefesh Mishta Kekes, that which the Neshama longs and yearns, Lesharsha, for its source, Umekaira, and from where it comes from, Umizen Ishtasha Letzleinu Kaya Hashira. The power to sing comes from that which there is, that which is yearning to return to its source. Ki etzam inyan hashira eino tali b'divrei shira. Shira has nothing to do with the words which you sing. Ulefanam yesh shenimsa ha'anla b'matzav shiri afilu b'loy emar edvar. Because it's possible that a person could be in a situation, in a moment, where he's singing but there's no words. There may not even be a tune. But you feel light. You feel like you're a song. You feel like you're notes on the paper. That comes from a place, he says, where the piece is yearning to be unified with the whole. And this really describes everything which we've been speaking about and trying to understand what it means, Kriyas Yam Suf. That the many pieces of the Jewish people, when they beheld the whole, when they beheld the root of where they came from, and they were yearning to return to that place, and they recognized Hashem as the source of their life, it was from that very deep place within the Jewish neshama which they sang Shirat Hashem. And for the fact that we say Az Yashir and we sing the Shira every single day in davening, what Chazal wanted from that is that every single davening experience should be from that place. Because we know, we listen to Jewish music in the car, or at parties, whenever it is, we know that there are different types of songs which move us in different ways. We know the way that rap music motivates us. It makes us feel like not an Adam. We don't feel like an Adam when we listen to that type of music. And when we listen to more elevated music, so it brings out pieces of who we are. And everybody's had moments in their lives and Shira experiences in their lives where they feel like it's coming from a very deep place, that it's bringing out a part of you which is very rich. Where you really feel connected to yourself. And of course, Rosh Chodesh and Halim Rosh Chodesh is the beautiful opportunity for that. And really, Yom Tovim are designated for that. to come together and to sing to Hashem and to bring out the Jewish neshama of who we truly are. So Chazal, they designed the regular Seder HaTefillah in a way that if every Jew will sing Az Yasha, not that he will sing, but if he's going through the process of Tefillah properly, then the process of Tefillah is in order to bring out within ourselves that place that I experience that I am a piece of the God, of the one and only Himself. That every day we should be Zaycha, that the davening which we give to Hashem should be from such a rich place within ourselves that by the time we're done, the whole day will be different, that I'll see the whole day as opportunities for doing mitzvahs. That this was a shiva which brought out my neshama, and I want to live my life today as a neshama. That's what the shira that Chazal were koveya, that they instituted every single day in davening, that we should say Az Yasha, we should sing this song, what they sang by the splitting of the sea. That we should zeiche to that every single day. This is a type of a shira, which we say, in fact, we say this pasuk in davening every day, in one of the halalukas. David HaMelech says to Hashem, a halal l'Hashem b'chayai. I sing halal to you, Hashem, with my life. And hopefully by this, at this point, we have a different understanding of what that means. Because there's shiras which you sing with your life, and there's shiras which you just sing. But you don't say that you're singing it with your life. Singing to Hashem with your life means like, you're singing to Hashem, and you feel like He's with you. He's a part of you. That He's essential in my life. That He's the fabric of who I am. That's called a halal l'Hashem b'chayai. My life is a song to you. That when I sing to you, it comes from that place which is from my kishkas. That everything which I have is you. And Chazal put that in the regular davening because every single day should be, not that it should be an obligation, that we should be zeichet to that joy, to that simcha, what it means to be a piece of the Creator. To bring that out, because that's who essentially who we are. And this, in fact, makes its relevance also to what Lag BaOmer is about. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who we mentioned, that he writes in the Zayar the following thing. I'm going to translate, of course. Mistakel havina kol yomai, b'hai kra. Listen to this, this is fascinating. My whole life, I would focus on this pasuk. Now, there are many, many psukim in all of Torah. Thousands of psukim. And the great sage of Shimon Bar Yochai said, my whole life, I dedicated myself to this one pasuk. If anybody had to ask themselves, what is your pasuk? That if you have a pasuk which you like to say in davening, which you like in the Torah and all of Tanakh, you have many different opinions and choices to like, what is your prize pasuk? Listen to Shimon Bar Yochai, what he said. I spent my life on this pasuk. Mistakel havina kol yomai b'haikra. I spent my whole life on this pasuk. Dichsiv, b'Hashem tishalel nafshi. My soul should sing halel to Hashem. Yishmu anavim v'yismachu. This is the conclusion of the pasuk. Let the humble ones hear this and they will rejoice. What David HaMelech is saying here is listen carefully to these words. And if you internalize what I'm telling you with these words, you will be so happy to know this. How unbelievable, what an unbelievable pleasure it is to sing Shira to Hashem. Not something which I have to do, but to look forward to that. That this is my life. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, my whole life I dedicated myself to this pasuk. And he writes, V'ha'edna, and now, Iskayim Kra Kula. This is the moment that this pasuk, I see its relevance in my life. B'Hashem tishalo nafshi. By my life, I give halo to Hashem. Vada, this is certainly true. V'hanishmasi be'yachidabe. My neshama is bound to this pasuk, to Him. Lahatabe, it's on fire for Him. V'stavkas, it has a dveikus, it clings to Him. V'shtadlus, v'shtadlusa da tistalak la'asra. And with this concept in mind, I will return my neshama to its source. That's what it means to sing to Hashem. It's a song which comes from the core of who we are. How the peace is yearning to be part of that greater whole. This is the life of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. This is the essence of Lag BaOmer. As we make our way towards Shavuos, where we're able to see and to witness once again, to be able to say, Zeh. This is not just a God which I'm separate from. It's like he's running all the cosmos. There's the great God out there, but his relevance in my life is that I have just a book of obligations to do for him, to appease him. There's no greater simcha in life to recognize that I'm a part of him, that he gave himself to me, and to be a piece of the Creator itself. This was the simcha which brought out that shir by Kriyas Yamsuf. Getting back to some of our questions, which we spoke about before. We spoke about matzah. We spoke about matzah, that the Zohar says that matzah is called the piece, the food of emunah. Why is matzah the food of emunah? So I think we have a little bit more of an understanding of why that is. The very first interaction we have with the matzah at the Seder is that we take the matzah, we break it in half. It's a very interesting thing to do to the matzah. So some of the Mefarshim learn that the reason why we do that is a hint already to Kriyas Yamsuf, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu will break the sea in half on the seventh day of Pesach. But for us, what that means when we take that matzah, and when you hold the bigger piece and you hold the smaller piece in your hand, when you look at that matzah, you say to yourself, this is the relationship between me and Hashem. There's the big piece of the matzah, which is Hashem, and then there's the small piece of the matzah, which is me. And although these two pieces of matzahs are separate from each other, but really in their roots, they come from the same place. There's just the bigger one and there's the smaller one. But the smaller one is just a part of the bigger one. And this is our introduction to reading the Haggadah. But from there we go into describing the events which led towards the redeeming of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. But what Chazal are hinting to us with the matzah, and why it's called the matzah of Emunah, is because implicit in the emunah that Klal Yisrael has in Hashem is to know and to recognize that you and I were really one. We come from the same place. And that's the chizik which we need in going down this road of the Seder to Kriyas Yamsuf and all the way to Shavuos, is that we take that piece of the Afikoman and we put it away. And we eat a lot of it, but there's an inyan also to put the Afikoman away, that you should have it away. For the whole year, you should have the Afikoman somewhere. It's supposed to be like a shmir on the home. It protects the home. Don't worry, if you didn't do it, it is the next year, Mitzvah Hashem, you'll have it. But there's many other shmirs which we have. Every mezuzah is a shmir. Coming to a shir like this is a shmir. But the reason why we put that in our pocket, in our drawers for the whole year round, is when times get rough and we forget who we are, you can pull out that matzah, you can look at it in the mirror, and you could say, I'm a piece of you. This is essentially who I am. I know I'm just a little piece of a bigger whole, and that's you. That's emunah. And again, there's many parts of emunah, but the journey of emunah is endless, and the depth of how much we can internalize this is the greatest joy in the emunah. We spoke about the children, the unborn children who were crossing the Yamsuf, and we said, what type of a shira did they offer to Hashem? Did they know what was going on? They weren't even born yet. So how was the Yamsuf and the shir of the Yamsuf relevant to them? But of course, the answer now is that the experience of the Yamsuf on the level of makos to the mitzrim and the saving of the Jewish people on that superficial level was not relevant to them. But the experience of witnessing the revelation of Hashem by the Yamsuf, you don't need physical eyes to see that. In fact, your physical eyes will usually conceal the ability to see that. There's nothing which can be a mechitza from being able to see the revelation of Hashem. That every single Jew who crossed the Yamsuf, whether they were born, whether they were unborn, if they were able to behold, to point, and to say, Zekeli Venvehu, this is the God who is the root of my life. Because that is the defining quality of what the Shira of the Yamsuf was. And that's also going back to when we spoke about the pasuk which Chazal bring. Chazal said that this was a shir which took place from the Mokor Yisrael, from the wombs of the Jewish women. But what Chazal are implying from this pasuk is that B'nai Yisrael witnessed the Mokor Yisrael, the root of from where all neshamas come from. And like we explained before, that where does shira come from? Where does song come from? Song comes from a place of the piece wanting to connect to its whole, to where it comes from. So when the Mokor of B'nai Yisrael, when the root of all the Jewish souls revealed itself by the Yamsuf, that brought about that shira. Because every piece, every neshama, which includes every born and unborn child, was able to sing that Shiva to Hashem because they were able to behold at that moment the root of where they come from. And this is, of course, the relevance to Az Yashir. And Chazal tell us, Az Yashir, this is the song that the Jewish people sang at that time when they crossed the Yam Suf, but it's the song of Tchiyas HaMesim too. It's the song of Tchiyas HaMesim because it's the song of not just Klai Yisrael sing once throughout our history. But Chazal are telling us that when they sang that song, it came from the kishkas, from the root of the life of the Jewish people. Like we said before, Ashir el Hashem b'chayai, they sang to Hashem from their essence, they sang to Hashem. That they revealed the secret of life within the Jewish people. And that secret of life wasn't just an event in history which revealed itself just that one time by the Yom Tov. It was a mashal, it was a representation of what will be once again at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim. That we'll sing a song like that once again from the essence of who we are. And that's what separates Kriya Samsa from all the songs which we sing to Hashem. Now, as human beings, we have a natural instinct to want to replicate and to do things like other people. For example, I grew up playing a lot of basketball. And in the 80s, there was a song which Nike came out with, which was called If I Could Be Like Mike. Maybe it was Gatorade, I don't remember anymore. If I Could Be Like Michael Jordan. That was like the song at the time. If I Could Be Like Mike. And at the time, growing up in the culture which we grew up in, You wanted to be like Michael Jordan. You want to wear his shoes. You want to be able to shoot like him and to wear his jerseys. And everybody goes to a ball game, whatever it is. You want to be like that person, and you find ways to try to convince yourself that you're like that person who you want to emulate. And in the Jewish vernacular, that's called idolizing. You idolize somebody. The reason why that's called idolizing is because the instinct that a human being has to want to emulate somebody else comes from a very holy place. And it comes from the place that we really have a role model, and our role model is the same. Who's that? It's Hashem. Hashem is our role model. And that's what we say by the Shira. When Bnei Yisrael came and they walked through that Yam Suf and they said, Ani Vahu, I want to walk in his ways, like Rashi says in the Gemara. Bnei Yisrael recognized that I want to be like you. Not that I want to be like you, I want to mimic you. Mimicking somebody is called idolizing. Being like Hashem is not called idolizing. It's being who you are. It's a fake to try to think that by wearing that person's clothes or by talking the way he does or has his mannerisms that you're like that. You're not like that. You're just kidding yourself. But when you act like Hashem and you do mitzvahs like him and you daven like him, it's not like you're mimicking Hashem or trying to be like him. You are him. You're just being who you are. But if that gets lost and we lose sight of who we are and we don't know who to imitate, who to replicate, so that's called idolizing. Because it's like an idol. It's not mamashna. You can't say that's really avodah zarah. But you're forgetting how to channel this holy feeling that Hashem gifted us with as human beings to be like him. To know who we really are, who we essentially are. And that's why the Torah is called the Torah Chai. It's the Torah of life. Because it's not just a handbook that we live our lives by, but it brings out the life of who we are. And this is the Shiri of Kriyas Yam Suf. This is what we mean by the song of my life. The song of my life means that we should be Zaycha. That when we sing Shira to Hashem, when we get together to sing Halo and Rosh Chodesh, a beautiful gathering of people together, that it shouldn't just be something which we come together because it becomes routine or it's a nice thing to do. Hashem should give us the eyes and the heart to recognize that it's an opportunity to come together to reveal the essence of who we are, and that it shouldn't just be a gathering together where we come and we go and we move on. It was a nice mitzvah to put into our pockets to take to Shemayim one day to get the reward for that. That it should be a type of an experience of becoming together, that it brings out new dimensions of who I am. That every time Rosh Chodesh comes around and we come together and we sing Halo to Hashem, I'm like a new person. It's a mini Tchiyas HaMesim. that is going to set the tone for my day today. It's going to set the tone for my week this week. And it's going to be a different type of a month. It's not going to be the same month as last month, because whatever I brought out of myself, of my neshama this month, is going to be new for this month. Because the process never ends, whether we're 3 years old or 48 or 50 or 75, it doesn't matter. There was always new and more gems and pieces of Hashem and more simcha in our life, which can come out with every single day which we live. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us from this way forth. Yizeichet, we come to Shavuos without recognition, that to be Yizeichet, the ultimate Tchias, Amis, and Bias Goyal Tzedek, and Hevei Noam.